Want complete protection? Try PhytoGuard, the ultimate nutraceutical combo, a great blend of all the top phytonutrients. I developed it, and it's exclusively available at drhoffman.com. Check it out. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we have something I think special and unique for you today on Intelligent Medicine. We're going to focus on natural therapy for liver disorders, and we've got an expert who found herself pursuing this in a very unusual way, because prior to her involvement in the subject of liver disease, she was a very successful high-flying financial advisor and a mom. And because of circumstances propelled her into the world of complementary medicine, first exploring conventional options, because she's not someone who rejects conventional options, but discovering that conventional options were limited for curing her daughter. And therefore, she became an investigative journalist and a dogged health advocate. And now she wants to spread the word about natural therapies for liver disorders. Her book is entitled Curing Courtney, and Courtney is her daughter. Our guest is Denise Gabay-Otten. Denise, it's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine.
Thank you, Ronald. I'm really, really happy to be on.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about, and by the way, Denise, I've known her for many years because when I just began my medical practice, she was a young professional. I was a young professional, too, at the time, and she was a patient of mine.
You were my first doctor in Manhattan.
Oh, my goodness.
First doctor. I don't know how I found you, perhaps the Yellow Pages, but I was looking for a nutritionist, a doctor who was well-versed in nutrition industry and an MD.
And so I fit the bill, and then we worked together for a while. And then we both grew up, and she grew up, got married. She had a beautiful daughter, but her daughter encountered some health problems. So tell us about that, Denise.
Well, Courtney, when she was 7, of course, I moved to New Jersey after Manhattan and brought up 3 beautiful children. And the third one she was perfect. She came out perfectly healthy, and there was no reason to believe that she was going to get hepatitis, which is what she had. She had and was diagnosed in 2003 with autoimmune hepatitis. And at that point, I thought, how can a child from New Jersey with an ordinary lifestyle, and you're bringing them up in a really traditional home, they have hepatitis. She's 7 years old.
Right. She didn't go to a tattoo parlor. She wasn't having risky sex. She wasn't injecting IV drugs. So that's a disease that you tend to
Where
think of as...
Where is she going to get hepatitis?
Yeah. Right.
Except this was not hepatitis A, B, and C. It's hepatitis. It's autoimmune hepatitis 1, 2, and 3. This is the non-contagious one. Nevertheless, you're sitting in the doctor's office, and he says your daughter has hepatitis. You say, how is that possible? I don't have tattoos. I'm not a heavy drinker. She doesn't have tattoos. She's just busy playing with her dolls and going to elementary school. What is this about, and where could this possibly have come from?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a financial advisor, and you're always taught to analyze things before you invest. And coming from that point of view and that training, I went straight to the Internet in 2003 and looked up alternative measures for autoimmune hepatitis, because the truth was that the minute that he sat down with me, he said she's going to go on prednisone for several years and an immunosuppressant drug.
Mm-hmm.
I had never heard of the immunosuppressant drugs that he had recommended, but I knew that prednisone was a very dangerous drug long term.
Mm-hmm.
Good short term, but long term, it's not something that I would want for anybody.
But did he mention the serious consequences of this condition? Because, you know, these drugs are powerful, but they're not used casually, because autoimmune hepatitis can be a very devastating health problem. So he probably said, gee, you know, your daughter might require a liver transplant if we don't do some of these things.
This is something that I went on the Internet and found out. Of course, you know, in 2003, we really didn't have a lot of Google. We had Yahoo, and we had, if you remember, Ask Jeeves. So there wasn't a lot out there.
The world
there.
Before Google. It's hard to imagine.
Right. Yes. So, but But in 2003, what I was able to find out is that this is something that only maybe 60% of the people, excuse me, it was actually in 2003, it was 40% of the people respond well to treatment, to drug treatment, and the rest of them do poorly and have to have liver transplants. So immediately I categorized her into, oh my God, this is a possible liver right. transplant of a 7-year-old daughter.
And it crazy. wasn't it just merely like, okay, you're going to take these drugs have bad side effects, but they're uniformly successful. So I guess you have to bear the consequences of these medications, that there wasn't even a guarantee of success had she used even the most powerful measures to control this.
And Ron, I'm like everybody else when I'm, you know, I was a mother working, 3 children, very, very busy, running to and from the school as well as trying to build my business in a Wall Street firm. It was crazy. So once he told me that, well, she's got this deadly disease, he didn't say deadly, I figured that one out by looking on the internet. She has this disease, she has to take these drugs, and she should be better in 5 years. So I said, okay, thanks, give me the drugs, because I am so brain dead with what I have to do. Mm-hmm. I can't do his job.
No, but
I just can't think about it. It's
hard to fault you for that, because that would be the natural reaction of a mom who's very concerned about the child. And, you know, it's only the very, very exceptional person who eventually went on to tread the path that you did, which is to look for exceptional ways of helping your daughter. The vast majority of people, A, they're too busy, but it's not even that. It's that they have tremendous trust in the medical profession.
Correct.
In some cases, rightly so, but in some cases...
And I did, too.
It's an unquestioning trust, which never is good.
I always trusted blindly, because frankly, you know, the first people that I met in the medical industry, one of them was you, and I did okay. trust you, and you were very good. And not only that, you continue to be good throughout the years, so I continue to refer people to you, unbeknownst to you. But nevertheless, when you sit in the doctor's office and they tell you there's something devastating that's happening to your child, you immediately respond to, okay, whatever you say, doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't ask questions. Now, I'm no different than anybody else. I may be a little pushier because I'm a New Yorker, but I'm standard mom that loves her kid no matter what, will do anything for her kid, and all I want to do is see the kid happy and healthy. So you just do what the doctor says, and you follow him. Except that in my case, I didn't have enough information in 2003 to really find out that there are alternatives out there.
Well, nobody had written the book Curing Courtney.
Exactly.
So really, there was, you know, this is...
There was nothing out there.
It was like an uncharted territory.
Completely. And I tell you that there were no books at all on curing, or I should say it's not a cure, it's reversing, it's a remission. Curing hepatitis or autoimmune hepatitis alternatively. If there was anybody out there, it didn't pop up on the internet in 2003 easily. However, in 2007, when the doctor finally said, well, the meds aren't working, and I said, what? You told me she was going to be well in 5 years. It's been 4.5 years, and you're saying it's not working? We'll have to use alternative meds. Now, to me, Ron, I realize, and forgive me for calling you Ron, Dr. Hoffman, I'm just used to calling you Ron from 30 years ago.
Sure, no, go ahead, please.
To me, that means that alternative means a drug that has not really been tested on the majority of the population
right.
yet. It may not work. We're not sure. But it's really strong, and she needs it.
Well, you know, that's funny, because they use the same term that we might use for acupuncture or traditional Chinese medicine, alternative.
Right.
That means, and the word alternative doesn't have a really good connotation in conventional medicine. So when he's talking about alternatives,
yes.
he's talking about, you know, it's on a wing and a prayer.
Right. And I was aware of that. I tuned into that right away, so I said, what? I don't understand that. Now, by 2007, Google had gotten larger. There were more search engines, so I had more information on the internet to tap into. I went back home. I looked at the label. It said the first thing on the warning label of the drug, it said, can cause lymphoma. That was the first sentence. And I said, wait a second. My daughter's now 12 years old. I can't give this to my daughter. And I looked across the kitchen table at my husband. I said, we can't give this to our daughter. This is not going to happen. And he said, well, what are we going to do? I said, honey, it can cause lymphoma. I don't want to give my daughter cancer. Well, at that point, we kind of both just sat there in defeat and said, I don't know what else I'm going to do. I'm going to have to just do my some research. I have to try. If I don't try and she dies of a liver transplant or cancer, I would never live with myself.
Well, just back up for 1 second. She had been on prednisone for 4.5 years. What are the effects? By the way, there's a beautiful picture of you next to your daughter, and you were a very nice-looking lady. But she's a beautiful young lady, and she doesn't look like she's had any permanent consequences of 4 years of being on prednisone. But tell us a little bit about what that does to a child when they're on prednisone.
Let me refer back to the book. In the back of the book, and I put that specifically in the back so that you wouldn't see it right away, there's the transition of when she was healthy, little seven-year-old, and then what they did to her with the drugs, how they created a very puffy, I want to say puffy, and
The medical term for it is moon-faced. That is the term in medicine for the effects of prednisone. It creates a moon face, which is a very puffy, you know, swollen-looking face, which is devastating for a child because appearance is everything.
And, you know,
when you're
growing
a funny-looking kid,
8 years old,
it's really rough.
You get teased. It's very rough. She had hair growing on her where it shouldn't have been growing. She had hair on her arms like a man. She had hair on her face. Mustache, unibrow, sideburns. We had to nair her hair at 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, even though you wouldn't normally put nair on a child of 8 years old, it made her feel a little bit better. She had hair on her back. I mean, this is excessive prednisone for 4.5 years on and off. Also, there was an immunosuppressant called Imuran. They also call it azathioprine. They use either that or a CellCept for children, for anyone with autoimmune hepatitis. They also use these two drugs for many Crohn's disease patients.
And by the way, CellCept is also a medication. It's so powerful that it helps in organ transplants. When the body wants to reject an organ that's a donor organ, it suppresses the immune system to allow the body to accept, say, a kidney or a liver or, in some cases, rarely a heart or lungs, because it's so powerful in suppressing the immune system. And that has consequences for susceptibility to diseases and cancer.
Right. It actually causes cancer. And that's
indeed
the thing that they don't tell you. So backing up to when she first started it, at 7 years old, I thought, it's working. This is a great drug. And I actually turned to the doctor in my ignorance in 2003, and I said, this drug is so fabulous, why don't we give it to everybody, talking about Imuran.
Mm.
And he went, no, it's really, no, that's not for that. It's just, you know, he just kind of waved it away. He didn't explain to me the severity of it. In truth, Imuran is an immunosuppressant that is a precursor to leukemia. So essentially, I was willingly giving my child, 7 years old to 12 years old, a leukemia drug.
Mm, yeah, indeed.
And they did not tell me that. And I did not know that until later on in 2007 when I was able to research all that I did. And by that time, it was a little too late. You know, I had given her so many drugs that at this point, all I can say is I now know the protocol to reverse her hepatitis if it comes back. And I also have the protocol to cleanse her body of all the toxins that were built up over that 4.5-year period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel confident that whatever poisons she got in her body, we'll be able to clean them out with the vitamin and antioxidant protocol.
Well, great. So tell us about your journey. How did you then branched out looking for natural alternatives to heal the liver? And, of course, this is a whole branch within complementary and alternative medicine. The liver is a very important organ. And even people who don't have autoimmune hepatitis or serious liver problems, they often have mild to moderate liver toxicity. So there's so many natural ways of cleansing the liver, supporting the liver. You see many of these protocols in complementary medicine.
Yes. And if I might suggest, people buying Cure and Courtney, if you just read it, because it's like a primer. It's coming from a person who figured it out on her own, and I had very few people to support me. Now I have lots of doctors who are supporting me, you included, and I know who to send people to, but what Cure and Courtney is giving the person that reads it is it's giving them a vitamin protocol that worked for hepatitis, but it also works for other autoimmune diseases, because the diet is there, the protocol is there, and it's an antioxidant protocol. It's not a hepatitis protocol.
Right. It's an empowering protocol for curing many types of autoimmune diseases and liver diseases.
Right.
And, you know, autoimmune hepatitis, frankly, let's admit that that's a relatively uncommon condition. For every person who has autoimmune hepatitis, there are probably 10 or 20 who have infectious hepatitis. And then actually the most common type of hepatitis in this country is actually not even infectious or autoimmune. It's something called NAFLD, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which a lot of people don't realize that's one of the ways we destroy our livers in this country is by with a bad diet. And it actually causes our livers to swell and become infiltrated with fat. And some of the protocols you talk about are very helpful for this. This is a condition that may affect up to 20% of Americans.
Now, I didn't know that. NAFLD, I do know, however, that hepatitis C is extremely popular in America.
Yep.
20 million in America, I believe.
Right, and it's one of those tip-of-the-iceberg phenomena because a lot of people don't even realize they have this. You know, 20 or 30 years later, doctors say, you have an abnormal blood test. Let's check it out. Then they become aware of it. And one of the main reasons there's a greater awareness about that is that some very, very expensive new drugs have been developed for hepatitis C. They cost as much as $85,000 a year.
So that's another thing. I have to tell you, being a financial advisor, before I came on your show, last week, Jim Cramer announced on CNBC that Gilead came out with this new phenomenal hepatitis C drug that is going to cure. He said cure on the air. I wanted to call him and tell him it is not a cure. And it is a remission. Whatever you do with these alternatives, and I'm sure you could validate this, doctor, is a remission. If you go and start drinking vodka, tonics or martinis, and you think you're not going to have a relapse, guess what? You're going to have a relapse, and you're going to have to go back on the vitamins again.
Well, this is actually, you know, this is a little bit of an aside, but one of the things they've just uncovered about statin drugs is, you know, tens of millions of Americans are taking statins. What they've discovered is that as soon as you take a statin drug, you tend to exercise less, eat more, and you gain weight, and you have a greater tendency to become diabetic. Your cholesterol is kept low artificially, but this is what's called elimination of moral hazard. You know, there's a moral hazard, you know, if you can go broke and the government's not going to come in with an immediate assistance program. There's moral hazard in your behavior. Similarly, these are medications that seemingly prop us up. But the moral hazard is eliminated. Look, I'm not saying that people shouldn't get effective hepatitis C medication. That, I think, is really a wonderful medical breakthrough. But the notion
that... I do, too, but I want to know, why don't you try alpha-lipoic first? Why not try an antioxidant protocol that could make your body healthy and strong? Because what got you here was because your immune system is down. But if you can boost your immune system, or at least balance it out, why not try that? Then, if the hepatitis C has not gone into remission, then you have the drug. Because the drug is, as you said, it's how much? $85,000? That's a lot of money.
Right. And tell us a little bit about how you found out about the cocktail of nutrients that you finally ended up administering to Courtney.
Well, as I said, I got the diagnosis from the doctor in 2007 that her meds aren't working, they're going to have to be stronger, and that clearly to me meant that the liver transplant was just down the road. If he hadn't been able to heal her within a 5-year period of time, I was under the impression, and I think rightly so, that she was probably going to have a liver transplant within the next few years. So that concept did not sit well with me, and I said, okay, I'm going to refuse the drugs for now, but I will come back to you because I need some time to research this. If I can find an alternative vitamin protocol and give it to her and it works, I've got to try it. And he said, no, you know what's going to happen, Mrs. Otten, inferring that she would have to have a liver transplant, she would get worse.
Right, so you're under a lot of pressure. I mean, I think that this is also, your book is instructive too, because it kind of creates a pathway for people to empower themselves to try natural therapies, sometimes in
That's
the face
all.
Of skepticism and opposition
right.
from their doctors.
Right.
So this is actually a very general phenomenon. A lot of people, you know, autoimmune hepatitis, relatively uncommon condition, but many people are faced with medical conditions that are not satisfactorily treated by conventional medicine. And you are really a shining example of how, in a responsible way, you pursued this, because this was, you know, you, it wasn't like, you know, they were going to have to send Child Protective Services to take your child away.
And he worked with me. He was very respectful of me and my wishes. And I did send him an email saying that he is no longer responsible for my child's health, because I understand that we're in a litigious environment,
right,
and I want him to feel comfortable, too. I'm respectful of him, too. So what happened after that was just, and I say this because I want everyone to understand, this protocol is not just about hepatitis or autoimmune hepatitis. I found something that actually, with a little bit of tweaking, and if you add low-dose naltrexone, and you can tell me if this is correct,
yep,
it actually can help MS patients, multiple sclerosis, can
yes,
be
use it for
improved
that
by this,
mm-hmm,
diabetes, thyroidism, multiple sclerosis, thyroidism.
Where I use it is particularly with inflammatory bowel disease like Crohn's disease,
yes,
ulcerative colitis.
Crohn's, right.
And there actually are studies that show that this stuff really can gently tweak the immune system. You know, the immune system in an autoimmune disease, it's actually hyperactive. A lot of people say, could you make my immune system stronger? Actually,
right,
in this case, we want your immune system to work better, not
right,
necessarily stronger, because it's over-exuberant in its attack on the body. And
right,
low-dose naltrexone seems to rejigger the immune response. You want to explain what it is, or shall I take a crack at it?
You know what? I just want to explain the protocol that I
sure
did, and then you explain low-dose naltrexone, because there's a little bit more science involved
okay
than I'm comfortable with. But the protocol includes alpha-lipoic, and that's not just, oh, go to GNC and get alpha-lipoic. You have to get a high-quality alpha-lipoic that works. I'm sure you have your own favorites, and I specifically mm-hmm put in the book which specific ones were recommended by the doctor I found. I went on the internet, I found one person who was a woman who was sick with autoimmune hepatitis, and she reversed it with alpha-lipoic and all these other antioxidants like selenium and silymarin and a few other things, and she changed her diet to no wheat, no dairy,
right,
all organic.
Right.
So that was so critical that I'm working with people now that that have called me from all over the world. One person is actually coming from South Africa to go to one of the doctors in the United States that I used. And some of them have just turned themselves around because they found MDs or sometimes NDs, and they find somebody who's going to help them with the protocol. And I have a 16-year-old from New York State who's turned around. She's almost off all meds.
Wow.
Two 6-year-olds from New York City.
Well, that's super exciting, because you're extending the success that you had with Courtney to other
yes
people. So clearly it's not a fluke. And
no, and I find people, they find me and I find them doctors to help them out. I don't want them to do it by themselves. I want them to do it for them to do it with a doctor's help. And the most amazing one is that in 1 week, Dr. Hoffman, two parents called me with 4-year-olds who had hepatitis with their liver levels at 3,000.
Whoa.
Normal liver levels are 20.
How does a kid get that sick? That's really bizarre.
I don't know, but it was two people in
yeah
the same week,
yeah,
4-year-olds. And I believe it's from a virus that they've contracted from a vaccine or something in utero. I'm not quite sure. That's more research that I have to do. But I do suspect that it is from some kind of virus we contract from either vaccines or something that has been transferred to us by our parents. Because my daughter was secluded in a beautiful area of New Jersey, and there weren't too many. I mean, there's a lot of pesticides that could have
mm-hmm
done it, too.
Yeah, it wasn't like you live on a golf course or that you're an industrial worker or something like that.
No, we don't live in coal mines or anything like that.
Right.
But there's just so many people who are turning around from Tennessee to Atlanta, Chicago. I got to tell you this one fabulous story. Gentleman calls me from Tennessee. He literally called me on the telephone because I could not. He was so sick, I couldn't believe it. He had been bedridden for 6 years, 38 years old, and I begged him, please get yourself all the way to New Mexico to this one doctor who gives IV treatments.
Do you want to mention the doctor's name? Because
In the book, the gentleman that I found is Dr.
Yeah.
Bert Berkson.
Right, who's an expert on alpha-lipoic acid and liver
right
disease,
and right
has really been a pioneer in this field. And I've interviewed him
right
on this program.
He's just a brilliant guy. And, yes, he was a pioneer, and he was working on low-dose naltrexone and alpha-lipoic research for the FDA for 15 years. So I begged him, please go there. I don't care what you have to borrow the money. You've got to get to him because a pill is not going to help you. It's been bedridden for 6 years.
Well, he's actually used intravenous alpha-lipoic acid, which is something that we have to use in patients with more severe problems. I mean, you can do it with the oral medication, but the IV works more effectively if you have a serious problem, as you know.
Right. And curing, and in the book Here in Courtney, I specifically say we use the pills. Because Courtney wasn't as advanced. I mean, she wasn't bedridden. She was sick, but she was functional. So I used the pills, and I did not use low-dose naltrexone. I saved that just in case I needed it. I could have used it. But I said, let's see how the pills do with the vitamin, all the vitamins I gave her, which was about 20 different vitamins, and a strict diet. And I took the wheat out of her diet, and I took the dairy out of her diet, and gave her all organics, and it was a little difficult. But in 3 months, she turned around. Now, this doctor, this gentleman from Tennessee, drove all the way from Tennessee to New Mexico to see Dr. Bergson to get his IV treatment for about 2 weeks. You have to stay there. In the first day of his treatment, now remember, this is a guy who couldn't get out of his bed to go to the bathroom sometimes. In his first visit to Dr. Bergson, he came out of that office and played basketball in the hot desert sun for an hour while his wife watched.
Wow.
And they couldn't believe it. And I said, what did your wife do? He said, she just cried.
That's very impressive.
And he has turned himself around. He says about 75-80%.
This is a logical place for us to pause, Denise, because when we return, this is part one of our discussion of Curing Courtney, a book by today's guest. She's Courtney's mom, Denise Gabe Otten, and she's a mom professionally. Her credentials are as a financial advisor, but she's also become an investigative journalist and a health advocate on behalf of patients with various forms of hepatitis, and particularly autoimmune hepatitis, which Courtney suffered from. And when we return, we're going to talk some more about the particulars of the program that helped to cure Courtney. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.